Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's second letter to the congregation in Corinth, chapter 4, beginning with the 5th verse. Dear friends in Christ, if you have something valuable, you want to protect it. Whether it's worth a lot of money or just has some sentimental value, you want to take care of it. You don't want people to simply take it from you or steal it from you. So you might hide it in some secret location, or you might put it in a safe, or you might install some sort of security system in and around it or at your house so people can't just come in and take it from you. If it's something that's breakable, you might put it in some sort of protective case, or you might put it up higher so people can't touch it, just simply look at it. If it's money, you might take it to a bank so that they can protect it and keep it for you. If you have something that's worth a lot, if you have something that's valuable, that's priceless, you want to protect it. At least that's what a lot of people do. There's another philosophy out there, and that's to hide something in plain sight. The idea is that people are going to look for safes. They're going to look in secret hiding places for certain things. But if you hide something in plain sight or put it in some nondescript location, someone's not going to be thinking about looking there. At the time of Paul, there are some people who would hide precious, valuable things in clay jars. Clay jars usually used to carry water or hold wine or something of the sort. It works, but it's also risky. It's sitting there out in the open, and if someone does think about looking in something like that, well, it offers no protection from thieves. And if it's guarding something that's priceless or breakable, well, it offers no protection from it breaking. That's the picture that Paul uses when he says in verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure is the gospel, and we'll get to that in a second. We are the jars of clay. We are the nondescript, fragile vessels which God entrusts with the treasure of His holy word. Fragile vessels. We're sinners who constantly fail to obey His commands. We're fragile. We break His word again and again. When it comes to sharing God's word, we'll know better. We're often lazy. We often make mistakes. We often fail to obey His word and share His word with others. We're weak. We're fragile. We can't keep God's word, and we're ugly. We don't attract anyone to the gospel, and yet God chose us to be the vessels that carry His treasure. And I'm no better. Of course, you know this. I'm a sinner just like everyone else. I've been here for 6.5 years, and you know that all full well. I've made mistakes. I haven't always shared God's word perfectly or when I should, and I maybe could have worked harder in certain instances for the sake of the gospel. You know that. Now, this is the first text I preached on here at Holy Cross, July 4th, 2010. And I warned you then, as the same thing I'm telling you now, that I'm not perfect, that I make mistakes, that I am a sinner, that I am just a jar of clay. If anything, these past 6.5 years, I've proven myself true. I am a sinner, just a jar of clay. Maybe you've noticed that before each time I preach, usually during the introduction to the hymn of the day, I bow my head and say a silent prayer to myself and my heart to God. Part of the content of that prayer is that I thank God that He has entrusted me with the treasure of His gospel. Even though I don't deserve to be called His child, let alone a pastor, He has entrusted me, a jar of clay, with something so precious, so priceless. His gospel. I ask that God would let the gospel shine forth in my preaching, that He would bless the words that come out of my mouth, that the words of my mouth would be pleasing to him, and the meditation of my heart would also be pleasing. Following the words of Psalm 19. Because that's the what I am. I am just a jar of clay, a sinner, entrusted with preaching the gospel. That's why, during my time with you up here, I haven't talked much about myself. I don't brag about who I am or what I've done, because I am just a sinful jar of clay. To paraphrase John the Baptist, I must decrease so the Lord can increase. However, as we've said, pastors are sinners. And there is that temptation for pastors to think it's all about them. They become big-headed if things go well, and if things aren't going so well, well, then there is the temptation then to fall into despair, as if the success of the word depends on us and who we are and what we do. During Paul's day, by the time he wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he was battling false teachers who went around claiming to be superior to Paul. He mockingly and sarcastically referred to them as the super apostles. They saw themselves and their teaching as better than Paul in the biblical teaching. They built themselves up at the expense of God's word and contrary to what Paul did. They wanted to gain followers for themselves instead of following the words of Christ. So they taught their own doctrine. They preached themselves, trying to avoid offending anyone or teaching controversial doctrines. They changed God's word so much that Paul said they preach a different gospel about a different Jesus. And we still have that today. Now there might be some who are so bold and brazen to preach about themselves and brag about all the things they have done, but oftentimes it's more subtle as they preach their own agenda. Pastors have that temptation to want to be liked, to want to be loved by all people. So they try to avoid offending anyone. Certain teachings are talked about less. Sin isn't emphasized, if sin is talked about at all. They certainly don't want to talk about how we're all sinners who deserve God's wrath and punishment, because people don't like to hear that. So they try to please everyone. They want everyone to heap praises upon themselves. In essence, instead of preaching Christ and His word, they preach themselves. There's also a tendency by the hearers, by members of congregations, to think that it's all about the pastor. That the success of a congregation depends on how good or not the pastor is. Oh, they want their pastor to be funny, to be entertaining. They hope he's a good storyteller, that he's not weird, that he gets along with my family and gets along with everybody else. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. Many people, however, don't want to be told they're sinners. They want to avoid certain controversial doctrines or to cave into society. They want to go to church to feel good about themselves. To maybe get some advice or to hang out with friends. It's rare, sadly, that someone just says about their pastor, I hope I learn God's word from him and grow in my faith. What many people want today is the super apostles of Paul's day. Someone who has scratched their itching ears to hear what they want to hear, not what God says in his word. And if things go well, they heap all praise in glory upon their pastor. But if things don't go as planned, well, then the pastor gets complained about and he gets the blame. But no matter who the pastor is, whether if people consider him a super apostle or the exact opposite, it doesn't really matter. No matter who the pastor is, he's still a jar of clay. Sinful, who makes mistakes. It doesn't really matter who is preaching the gospel then, as long as the gospel is being preached. As long as the word is taught in its truth and purity, that is what is really matters. So you focus then not on the vessel, but on the treasure. We worship. We come to Bible class. You remember here, not because of the vessel, but because of the treasure. Not because who the pastor is, but because of Christ. That is what's important. Not the pastor, but Christ. That's why we come. And then if you don't come, it's not because of the pastor, not because of the vessel, but because of Christ. As Jesus said in our gospel, those who reject you reject me. You're not rejecting the vessel, you then are rejecting Christ. You're not accepting the vessel, you are accepting Christ. That is the reason why we come or don't come. Not the vessel, but Christ. That's what the gospel ministry is all about. Not me pointing to myself, but me pointing you to Christ. Not you pointing to the pastor, but you pointing past the pastor to the cross. Oh, I think you understand that. Many of you have been members here my entire time, these 6.5 years. If you came because of the vessel, if you became because of me, you never would have returned after that first Sunday. You come not because of me, you come not because of the pastor, but because of the word of Christ that I share with you. And that's why you will come back again and again. Not to hear the pastor, but to hear Christ through the pastor. That's why we worship, that's why we come to Bible study, that's why we're members here. That's why you will keep on coming with whoever serves you. Not because of the vessel, but because of Christ. And so we preach ourselves, as Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. It is He who is our Lord, who is our God, who is our Savior. He is the one who created the world. At the beginning of the world, there was nothing but darkness. Complete and utter darkness, not a single thing of light. Entire creation. And then God said, "Let there be light." And simply by His word, light came into the world. Later on, He created the sun for the day and the stars and the moon for the night. Light, by just His word, covered over the entire world. Our hearts, at one time, were no less dark. We were completely blind, lost in the darkness of sin and unbelief. But the Lord, who created light through the world with just His word, created the light of the gospel through His word. Because of Him, we are now able to see Jesus Christ as our Lord, Jesus Christ as our God, Jesus Christ as our Savior. In Christ, we have seen the glory of the Lord. No longer blind, no longer living in the darkness of sin and unbelief, but we have seen the light of salvation in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Through faith, we have experienced His love and grace firsthand. We know that God is a loving and forgiving God who sent His Son to die in order to save us from our sins. He rose from the dead to give us that gift of eternal life. Through Christ, we will share in the glory of God forever. Christ then has saved us by His perfect life, by His innocent suffering and death, and by His resurrection. Through the gospel, He has brought us to faith. Through the gospel, He has led us to see the light of salvation, And through the gospel, he keeps us in the one true faith, so we will receive everything Christ has done for us. Therefore, everything we need to do to be saved is done not by us, but by Christ. It is finished, he said on the cross. Everything we need to do to be saved was accomplished for us by Christ. He and he alone has saved us. You don't do anything to be saved. And the pastor doesn't save you. Pastor is not responsible one way or the other. It's all about the treasure, not the vessel. That's why you listen to me, and that's why you listen to any other pastor, because it's not about the person who shares it, but about the treasure, the power of the gospel through which the Holy Spirit works to create faith and to sustain faith. And that's why Paul rightfully calls the gospel a treasure. What makes the gospel a treasure? Because only in the gospel do we learn about Christ. We don't see anything about who God is and what God has done outside of the Bible. Only in the Bible do we see God as the Son of God. Do we see him suffering and dying as our substitute to taking on our sins and suffering our eternal damnation? Only in the gospel do we learn about the foolishness of Christ, who is God and man, who rose from the dead. Without the gospel, we are living in the darkness of sin and unbelief. But through the gospel, we have become enlightened. Through the gospel, we receive the blessings of salvation. Paul says in the first chapter to his letter to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Later on in chapter 10, he said, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The treasure is the gospel, because the gospel is the greatest story ever told, and the Holy Spirit works through it to bring us and keep us in the one true faith. The gospel is the treasure. And so may you focus on the treasure. Treasure the treasure, not the man. Whether you like me or not, doesn't matter. Forget about me. I'm just an unimportant jar of clay. And for those after me, may you honor them and love them and respect them, not because of who they are, but because of what they teach. They are the vessel that carries the treasure of the gospel by which we are saved. A broken vessel, sinful, just like me. So treasure not the man, but treasure the treasure. Obviously, I'm not the treasure. I'm just a sinful, weak jar of clay, just like you are, that for some reason God has entrusted with his gospel. Yet despite me, yet after 6.5 years, you are still here. And I thank God for that each and every day. Continue to do so. And may those who come after me preach not themselves, but preach the treasure. May you look past the men who serve you to Christ, to him and the gospel, and treasure that treasure. For it truly is the treasure that saves. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.